As we continue our study in the book of Zechariah, we're still in the 13th chapter and ready to begin at the third verse. The third verse reads like this, "And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord, and his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth." Because of the salvation of God, which has cleansed God's people and made them love him and his truth, hatred of false prophets will overrule normal human feelings, figuratively causing even a father and mother to put their own apostate child to death. This is a stern reminder of how God feels about and will eventually treat those preachers who teach false doctrine. They, whether Jew or Gentile, are false prophets. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Holy zeal for God and godliness will make us hate sin, and most of all will we hate sin in those whom we love best. Verse 4, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive." When Israel turns to the gospel, then the false prophets, those who have been teaching salvation by the law of Moses, will be convinced that they are teaching false doctrine, that they are in reality a false prophet. They shall be ashamed of their vision, which they have prophesied, and therefore they will no longer wear a prophet's garment, which was a rough garment, in imitation of Elijah, which was worn to deceive others into believing that they were true prophets. Verse 5, "But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for men taught me to keep cattle from my youth." The pretender, when he has truly repented, will say, "I'm not a prophet, as I have pretended to be, but I am really a farmer. I have been trained to keep cattle from my youth. Farming has been my lifetime occupation. I'm not a prophet." Verse 6, "And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." When the false prophet denies any association with pagan practices, others will challenge him to explain the suspicious wounds on his body. Some translators say these wounds are on the hands, others say between the arms, others say wounds on the body. This is probably figurative language showing the effects of the corrections and chastisements of his friends as they showed him his error and caused a drastic change in his way of life. When he is asked, "What are these wounds on your body?" NIV, then he shall say, "I was wounded in the house of my friends." That is, his friends destroyed his false doctrine and his way of life by showing him the truth. As we break away from false doctrine and turn to the truth, it may leave some spiritual scars on ourselves as we change from one way of life to another way of life. Galatians 6:15-16 say, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon Israel of God." Now in the last part of this chapter, verses 7 through 9, we see where Zechariah in this section turns from false prophets, wounded in friends' houses, to the true prophet, Jesus Christ, wounded in the house of his friends, Israel. Verse 7 says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." Here he talks about the sufferings of Christ. He was the one to be pierced. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." Those are the words of God the Father, commissioning the sword of his justice to awake against his Son. When the Son had voluntarily made his soul an offering for sin, for it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer, and he was stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted, according to Isaiah 53:4-10. Observe how God regards him. He says, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. He and the Father are one, according to Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8. Let's read that passage. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Here he is called the shepherd that was to lay down his life for the sheep. Observe how he uses him. He says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. If he will be a sacrifice, he must be slain. For without the shedding of blood, the lifeblood, there is no remission. This is not a charge given to a rod to correct him, but it's a charge given to a sword to slay him. For God did not spare his own son. We're also told of the scattering of the disciples. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, he says. This prophecy, Jesus Christ himself claimed to be fulfilled when all of his disciples left him on the night before his death. Matthew 26:31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So Jesus said this prophecy here in Zechariah was fulfilled at that time. They all forsook him and left. They were scattered, each to his own home, and left him all alone. John 16:32, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 7 further says, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. The little ones are the same as the poor of the flock in 11 verse 7. This refers to the remnant of believers among the Jews who were faithful to the Messiah after his crucifixion. Turning God's hand upon them is probably referring to God's protection of the faithful. Verse 8 says, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. Two-thirds, one-third. Only a portion of the people of Israel will remain faithful unto the end. These spiritual survivors will be the remnant who repent and turn to Christ. Verse 9 says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. This is likely speaking of the remnant who believed, which included the Jews and all others who followed Christ. Yet one-third shall be left, he says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. When Jerusalem and Judea were destroyed in AD 70, all the Christians in that country had been warned by Christ in Matthew 24:16 to flee to the mountains. This would be when Jerusalem was surrounded by Titus's army, and the safest thing to do seemed to be to stay in the city. So it took a lot of faith in what Christ had said when he told them to flee into the mountains at this time. So at this time, the faithful Christians in that country did flee into the mountains for their own safety. Now it probably looked like to those around them that they were doing the most foolish thing by leaving the safety of the city, but they did what Christ told them. They had faith in his teaching. He told them to flee to the mountains. They were sheltered in a city called Pella on the other side of the Jordan. This third I will bring into the fire of affliction, and will refine and test them as silver and gold are refined and tested. This was fulfilled, and is being fulfilled today, in the trials and persecutions of the church. 1 Peter 4:12-13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Again in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in 1 Corinthians 6:16, for you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this brings chapter 13 to a close, and we see how these prophecies given by Zechariah were fulfilled, even stated by Jesus that they were fulfilled. So they're accurate, and they certainly are from God.